The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you, Logan?
I am good, Jordan. We didn't talk much pre-show, so I had to wake up at 4:45 this morning. And I got to watch his surgery, which is cool. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was a gallbladder removal, so pretty darn cool. Yeah, exciting stuff that I got to wake up for today. But that was really early. I can't, when I wake up before 5 a.m., that's brutal. Like, I don't, like when we travel, for instance, we always book red eye and like those middle of the morning 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. wake up calls.
So is this one of those things where now you're expected to like do the surgery tomorrow?
Yes. Yep. That's how we operate. So tomorrow, Joe.
Today was the trial. You had to watch it.
Yeah. Well, it's like trial by fire kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Geez, would not want that to happen to me.
You're actually up next, actually. You're going to fly down here and.
You're gonna come into the delivery room.
Oh yeah, no, I could do that. Yeah, I could definitely do that. Not sure how well that would go for you.
I don't know. I watched the birthing stuff this weekend. I feel like I could deliver my own child if I needed to.
Turns on Google. Yeah, sure.
Yes, this looks like this is what we do.
Yep.
We are here talking match day 12, which includes some weekend results, a Tuesday night game that Union fans would love to forget that took place last week, and some amazing feats on Saturday that we'll be diving into. Let's just start off with my adventures up to Philadelphia to resume a game that started on March 9th. So this is
longest game ever played.
First half in history. Yeah. Resumed in the 6th minute, in the 13th minute. So after only 7 minutes of play for the day, Raul Ruiz Diaz scored. And I'll say that really quieted the place. One, because it was like a really bad giveaway from Jose Martinez. And at midfield. And Rui Diaz was able to just chip it over Semley because he was up a bit to be able to get the pass back if he needed to. And it just goes over his head and in, and stunned the crowd. It stunned the press box, I'll say. I was in the press box. It was a little like, whoa, like what? 5 minutes in, the Seattle team? Well, 13 minutes into the game, 7 minutes into the day, the Seattle team scores. And then more shock in the 22nd minute when Vargas did a nice little goal at like the edge of the box. Kind of weaves in there, I don't know, curls in there. And then Ruiz Diaz scored again in the 37th minute. I believe that was a penalty. It doesn't show it listed as a penalty here on here. But 3-0 at half. And I'll say everyone was really stunned, and you're like, wow, all right. I was reading some stuff while I'm in the press box, and people are like, if they don't make this a game in like the next couple minutes after the second half, I'm going home. It's a Tuesday night. You know, I got stuff to do. It's what I see people saying on like Reddit and Twitter. The Union tried to make it a game. We start back up in the 56th minute. Jack McGlynn scores. Really good goal, by the way. Then Gazdag scores less than like 30 seconds later. He's now like the all-time Union goal scorer. And then he scored again, but it was offsides. And it was just a crazy, crazy game. I really thought they were going to do it and equalize. But here's the thing, because they kind of do this again on Saturday. we've been talking on, is this team actually good? Is this team not? And for a while, their stats were backing up that they were good, right? They were on pace to be top four with points per game, blah, 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 all that stuff. My main concern was not really number of goals conceded, because if you looked at the top, they were still like not that bad. It probably looks worse now because they conceded 5 in 2 games here. But I remember looking at it and be like, oh no, they still only given up like 11. That's not bad. My biggest concern with them was if you keep falling behind early. And this is what we saw early in the season, that they kind of sorted out a bit and then kind of fell back into again. When they give up goals, at some point it's going to run out to where you can't come back and win, or you can't come back and draw. And that was the RSL game, and that was the Seattle game. The RSL game, I can't even really include in that either, because the goal that they gave up was not really like anything to their fault. It was just not really a good block from Blake, and it kind of unfortunately went in there. But this game especially, when you go down 3 goals in the first 40 minutes of the game, first 37 minutes or whatever of the game that you're actually playing that day, it's hard to make that ground up. They tried, made it 3-2, and they had tons of chances to make it 3-3. But sometimes that's just not going to work, right? DC game that they played this weekend, they go down 2-0 again. They come back and make it 2-2. But when you fall down 2-0, it makes it a hell of a lot harder to get the 3 points, because you need that third goal. And when you go down 3-0, it makes it really hard to get 1 point. So it's a little uncharacteristic in that regard. Now, Blake is injured again. He's maybe not happy as well. We saw posts online with that. My biggest issue in that game against Seattle was Jose Martinez. He gave the ball away almost every time he touched the ball. You know, then he gets yellow cards all the time. I've never been the biggest fan of Jose Martinez. You can go back and listen to my appearance on the free kick when I appear on Todd's show in like 2021, or 2020. I forget what year I did it, but 2020, 2021, somewhere around there. I was not big on Jose Martinez. There's times he's really excellent. And then Logan, there's times where, I mean, I felt like 2 of the goals were his fault on Tuesday, because he's just gives the ball away, and then boom, they're counterattacking. And it was, Jim subbed him off at halftime, and guess what? The Union clawed their way back, and it's like, okay, maybe we should, as bad as that sounds, maybe we shouldn't be starting him. Maybe he's not guaranteed to start. He did make a post at halftime. I think that was maybe a reference to him getting subbed off. He probably didn't like that. But when you play that bad, some things have to happen.
Yeah, and I think, we saw some of this, I think, last year with just, but you know, and they're really tough. They're in a tough position, because while we'll say, you know, maybe that this team is not as good as both you and I thought, maybe it's the fact that, I mean, this team has been good for so long. And it's been this core, and it's been this core that took them to the MLS Cup final. It's been this core that threatened CONCACAF Champions League. I mean, this has been a team, Jordan, that's consistently been good for the last couple of years. So to come into this year to think that they were a mid-level team, it didn't add up yet. You know, as we start to play more games, then yeah, the defense looks more exposed. Andre Blake looks close to done. Jose Martinez is done. You know, Ali Bedoya is, you know, on his way out, as far as just being older. I think it's time for a reset. I mean, Kai Wagner had his issues with his contract, and they didn't know whether they were going to get him signed back up. It just seems like this team, Jordan, is kind of in that state of transition, and it's going to be, I think it'll be behind Jim Curtin. I think it'll be, you know, Jim's not yet made the jump, and maybe it's time for him to jump. I don't know. But, I'm assuming there's going to be teams out there that would be willing to take a chance on him if he had any aspirations. It's no longer the U.S. men's national team, I don't think. But I think if it's
you know, a European side that approached him, I wouldn't be shocked. But I mean, with this, I mean, look at the roster. It's an aging roster. It kind of reminds me of the situation, not to throw it to our two teams, but I mean, it's pretty comparable to what Orlando's doing. I feel like Orlando's got that core of players that they're just ready to move on from. They're not old by any stretch. But again, I think there's a transition period that's coming for some of these teams that I think we thought were top teams in the Eastern Conference. And Orlando and Philly being two of the teams.
What it sounds like to me, right, it sounds like Blake had something earlier this season, right, where he said he wanted to see more investment in the team. It sounds like from what Jim said about Blake's post, it's probably that, right? Like he's talking about that. I froze. Can you hear me or no?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So with Blake having upset about how the team's not really probably getting great signings, that's not something you can really put on Jim. I don't even think it's something you can really put on Ernst. Everybody in the Union Twitter is really starting to, like, we already knew Sugarman was not spending money the way that other teams are. But it's really going to come to a head if this core ends up, I don't know what to say, like, I guess you could say underperforming. They already kind of have, right? They won one trophy. They've been to a lot of finals, U.S. Open Cup. They've been to semifinal of CCC. They've been to semifinal of Leagues Cup. They've been to MLS Cup final. All of that is actually way above my expectations for what this team was. When you look at how MLS teams are structured nowadays and how they've been able to find some of these pieces to put together the team and all this. But I'm sure, like, if Jim leaves, it's going to be because of frustration because of this, not because he's going to get fired. I think, like, Sugarman and Ernst Tanner will be like, I think as long as Jim Curtin's at Philly, they'll be a good team. Will they be always challenging? No. But I do think he can be there. I don't think the players' problems is Jim, is what my main point is. I mean, you see Blake posting, you see Martinez posting. I don't know if it's like at Jim. I think it's more about like the situation with the team. Blake wants to win stuff, I'm sure, you know? And he's probably frustrated with injuries this year too. And that's just kind of what it is. But yeah, so they played two games this week. 1 point when they probably needed six. Jose Martinez did not start that game against DC as well. So he comes in for Leon Flock in the 66th minute. And Blake is now officially like ruled out. He did not start that game either. But yeah. All right. So that was Jordan's corner for the bit there. Let's dive into, I think, something that is what most people maybe want to talk about. And that is Inter Miami and New York Rebels. Wouldn't it have been funny if I instead said like Orlando City and then we went on the Orlando City stuff? We'll get there later, but
yeah, let's save people.
Well, let's get to what everybody wants to talk about. Orlando City. No, we're going to talk the other Florida team, Inter Miami. Logan, they were down 1-0 at the half. If I'm going to tell people that I'm going to tell you the scoreline now, everybody that's listening, in case if you lived under a rock, you did not see this scoreline. If I was to tell you they were down 1-0 to New York Red Bulls, you're like, okay, yeah, they probably won like 3-1. They won 6-2, and Messi had all goal contributions. He had a goal and 5 assists, which is his record as well as MLS's record of goal contributions in a game at 6. All those goals came in the second half, of course, and then they also gave up a goal in stoppage time to make it 6-2. Here's the interesting thing to me. It's not the Messi of it all. It's not even the 6 goals of it all. It's that this was against a team that a lot of people were calling contenders. New York Red Bulls were saying that they're elite teams in the East, and they have Red Bulls on their list. Yes, they lose to another elite team, but it's 6-2. It's not even like, and they had the lead at half. It's almost like they packed it up thinking, oh, we got this one where we're leading against Messi and Inter Miami right now. And that's all they'll have to say now. Like, going forward, they'll just be like, hey, you know, we once held a 1-0 lead for 45 minutes against Messi and Miami. Don't ask us about the second half, though. But yeah, so that's the most interesting thing to me, is that the Red Bull team we've been impressed by this year, and Miami does this against them. To the point, and you have it written down here, can anybody stop them? Are they now the favorites for the Supporters Shield? Are they going to win MLS Cup? You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that is in my mind right now, because if Messi's healthy and he can do 6 goal contributions against the Red Bulls, I think we're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking about this game too, because Matt and I were sitting in the Orlando City match, and I had it on my FOTMOB app. I had it as the game pulled up, and I kept pulling.
Oh, you get service there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we get great service there. But we pulled up the game, and it was laughable, because in the second half, it was like every time I refreshed, Messi had something else happen, and yes. It was like, this is insane. Matt and I, this is crazy. And I didn't know until Matt went on Twitter. He's like, Messi has all the goal contributions. I was like, that's crazy. Because it only shows you scoring at the top of 5. Yes, I just saw the score changing. It got to like 6-1. And then I turned him and we had the real discussion of like, there's nobody that can beat this team. Like, if those two are healthy, there is not a team in the world that can beat these two. Like, I'll just say it, mark it down May 6th. If these two remain healthy, they'll easily win Supporters Shield. They'll easily win MLS Cup. Because I will
write that down. Hold on, because we wrote the other one down last week or 2 weeks ago. Let me write this down now. All right, we are on 5-6. Logan says, if Messi and you said, so Suarez, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, Suarez and Messi. They have to play.
Are healthy.
They got to play games, yeah.
They will win Supporter Shield, Shield and Cup.
Jordan, they have 32 goals. That's insane. That's unheard of in this league.
Well,
32 goals in 12 matches.
32 goals and 12 goals of those are Messi's?
Yeah, and I think 12 are Suarez too, right? I think they're both at level, aren't they, in goals?
I'm trying to pull that up and double check that. Messi's got 10 goals. Suarez has got 10 goals. Yeah.
So 10 and 10.
10 and 10. Oh. So 20 of the 32 are from those two players. And Messi's got 12 assists.
And Messi missed a game. And so did Suarez, I think.
Yeah, and he's the first Miami player to record 10 and 10 in one season. It's 12 games in or whatever.
Imagine how drastic that's been, though, as a fan. Like, you were the laughingstock of the league, and all of a sudden you became what arguably could be the best team that's ever been assembled in MLS if they stay healthy. Like, that's incredible. Like, there's no doubt if these two stay healthy, they are the best team that's ever played. But, man, the fireworks will be great if LAFC end up being really good.
Yeah. It's tough because, you know, we talked about it, what, last week or something? Like, what would be the premier matchup, LAFC and Miami, right? I mean, star-wise, yeah, probably, because Giroud's going to be coming over.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't even see LAFC beating them in a one-off. If everybody,
no, I don't think so. No.
Like, of course, it's in the playoffs, anything can happen, right? Like, we know that anything can happen, but right now, you got Messi playing this well. Now, of course, they're going to miss some time, right? Because, like, he's probably going to be in Copa and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to miss a little bit of time, I think. But, man, when they... I would seriously think, like, when it comes to League's Cup, it's like, all right, let's maybe rest these guys.
Yeah.
Let's rest these guys and save them for MLS. Right up
against, and it's against Copa. So, like, while the club teams...
So when he comes back, give him a rake. Right, yeah.
Yeah, the national teams will often defer to club, but it's messy, dude. Like, I mean, there's so much at stake in this year and next, like, because he's here.
Well, this is their best shot, right? This is their best shot to win an MLS Cup in Miami's history.
Not to mention, Jordan, they're linked to Angel Di Maria.
How will they fit him? I don't understand this.
They don't have I think it is. I think it's the way they can structure his contract. He doesn't fall underneath that DP slot.
Mm.
It's the same way that they structured Suarez's deal. Suarez is not a DP. So
but Di Maria is not as old as them. That's what's wild.
Oh, I know. And I think better at this point, like better than Suarez it is. And Busquets.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be playing. I would assume Di Maria is going to be on the wing.
Yeah,
like he's been in the past. It's just,
could you imagine that's Suarez, another Di Maria and Messi
with Alba and Busquets,
Cremaschi.
My God,
Drake Callender. Like you've got some of the at each position. You have arguably the best players at each of the positions that you'd be fielding at that point. Julian Gressel. Like, it's not fair. It's really not. And LAFC and LA Galaxy really feel like our only hope. Like, I feel Princess Leia like-esque.
I mean, at this point, it's like, would it be funny if they didn't win it? Yeah, probably. But, like, I think at the end of it, if they don't walk away with an MLS Cup, you would say this has been a failure in the sense of, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Like, obviously the fan bases of the other teams won't see it that way, but I think as an objective MLS, like if I remove my fandoms and stuff, and just look at the league.
Yeah.
Right. When you bring Messi over, you bring over all of his friends, you're thinking, all right, we're the best team in the league. We have the best talent, at least. We have to win MLS Cup. And yes, they've already won League's Cup, but the big one is MLS Cup. So if they don't win that, I do think you would look at this and say maybe a disappointment, not to Miami fans themselves. That would be true as well, I think. But to MLS as a whole, MLS probably wants them to win the Cup. They probably want to be able to put out a tweet that says Messi is an MLS Cup winner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, there's going to be people that don't want him to win because they think that the circus is in town every time he shows up, or because they don't want it to look like him retirement leaguing it or whatever. But, I mean, he's MVP right now, right? Like, if we're holding the vote for MVP... right now,
it's him and Suarez,
10 goals, 10 assists.
Yeah,
he is the MVP, and I would put him above Suarez because Suarez's goals a lot of times are just tap-ins when he's there, right? Like, he's just there, boom, in. While Messi's the one that's creating the opportunity, or sometimes pulling a goal out of nowhere. And I saw somebody say earlier today, I think it was, I forget what fan they were, but on Reddit, somebody's saying, this would be ridiculous if Messi wins MVP. We can't be handing him out to these old over-the-hill players. Like, he would be one of the only, he would be one of the ones to deserve it, all right? Like, when Messi gets picked for the All-Star game this year, he deserves it. It's not one of those, like, oh, he's Messi, we gotta put him in the All-Star game. Like, they would anyway, but with his stats... and the fact that they're top, I mean, he deserves it. I know it's annoying people. I'm really enjoying watching him play. I wish I could see him in person. I just don't think that's ever going to happen because of the ticket prices. But I would love to see him in person and play before he retires at some point.
But can we can we stop that though? Like as a fan, and I've had my fair share of it. Like my basketball team is Indiana, the Pacers, and we ran up against LeBron, and I didn't like LeBron, and I got so caught up in like how much I despised LeBron that you forget to appreciate how good the athlete is. And it's the same way with Tom Brady. Like, it's the same way with a lot of these really great players, is that I think sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to really dislike them when ultimately it's like, you're going to beat them anyway. Like, you really think you're going to beat the best player in the world? Like, we were so excited for him to come. And yes, you always need that villain, but he's not really a villain. Like, nothing he does is villainous. Like, nothing he does. He easily, Jordan, I think, is the most likable, greatest player of all time. And by that, I mean, he doesn't do things that anger you. He doesn't do things that, he's very quiet. He doesn't like the limelight. He doesn't like that spotlight.
Yeah, not a lot of scandals or anything.
Yeah, like he does what he's supposed to do. Whereas you've got other players like a Ronaldo who always wants the spotlight. Tom Brady, you know, he's got things that people don't like about him. He's very, you know, he's temperamental. He throws his stuff. He gets into it. Coaches, you know, he thinks he's God's great, you know, gift to the earth. You know, LeBron has his moments of where he just thinks that he owns the. Messi's never been like that. And maybe because it's different because it's soccer, but you've got a lot of divas in soccer. We've seen them. I mean, Mbappe has his issues. Neymar's had his issues. Higuain's had his issues. Like, you know, these are some of the best players in the world. But you're right, Jordan. Like, they're Inter Miami. They're supposed to be rivals of Indy or of Orlando. And I don't feel it. Like, every time I turn it on, it's like, man, this is cool. I want my team to beat them. But, man, you know, this is, we're seeing something we'll never get to see again in this league.
I mean, I used to dislike Messi when he was on Barcelona and scoring a million times and winning all these cups and stuff. But guess what? It gets to a certain point when you come around to it and you're like, at a certain point, you just got to stop hating and just be like, yeah, he's good. I mean,
try to stop him.
Yeah, it will help the league. This will help the league. I don't like, there's no way. And it's because it is Messi. If it was like, if it was, I don't know. Pick like a.
Throw Aguero out there. If Aguero,
if Aguero came out here and scored the same amount of goals, people would be like, wow, MLS is kind of washed, right? Yeah. But with it being Messi and we saw him dominate other leagues and all of Europe and the world, when he wins MLS Cup, people will be like, you'll have a few that'll be like, oh, retirement league, but you'll have a lot be like, wow, he's doing pretty well over there, huh? Like, that's who he is. People are used to him winning stuff, and they'll just it's not going to hurt like the league's reputation.
Yeah. I love Mark Fishkin of Seeing Red, and they brought this up on the wrap up that he tweeted it at halftime that it was, or right after halftime, that it was the Pink Wedding. And for the Game of Thrones fans out there, I was like, every time they score now, that's all I'm going to picture is like Messi going through and poisoning everybody.
Reigns of like Castamere is playing. Yeah, Castamere's playing.
I'm going to get copyright. But like Jordan, you said it, and I think what people don't realize is because Messi came here, Neymar's thinking about coming here. Di Maria's thinking about coming here. Mbappe's going to come. KDB is going to come. Like, it eventually will happen where the best players in the world, which is what we've always wanted, are going to start coming earlier. Like, KDB's talking about it right now. He's only 32 or 33. Like, that's nuts. Zlatan, like, Messi made Zlatan's time here look like it was not even worth. Like, he makes it look like he was just, you know, pedestrian at best. Messi comes over here. Dude's killed the league. Like, and it'll only make the teams better. Like, it'll only make the other teams want to spend more, want to be competitive, want these big stars. This is massive for MLS. This is exactly what we needed. We didn't need Messi coming over here and being the circus of, you know, he plays 12 to 13 matches in MLS. He's hurt all the time. This is exactly what MLS wanted. and they're getting exactly what they thought they were getting.
All right, let's talk about LAFC then. San Jose beat them 3-1. Crazy. And this is why, like, what I would say, like, while the Union do need to sort out their stuff, right? And they're still within, like, 3 points of the top four. And they have a game in hand still. When it comes to, and they're only 1 point back of Columbus, as well as Columbus has been doing. And Columbus got to, they got through Monterrey. But when the Seattle result was going on, and then Saturday you see this LAFC result go down, you're like, this happens in MLS. Like, you also can't read too much into some of this stuff. Like, sometimes it just happens, right? Like, the bad team is going to beat the good team. And that's exactly what happened here, San Jose LAFC, because LAFC, again, thought to be pretty much favorites. They're sitting around seventh still, and they lose to the worst team in the West, who's tied for worst team in the league, actually, because New England now has 7 points. San Jose has 7 points. Points per game actually put San Jose lower because they have played one more game than New England. So you lose to the worst team in the league that shipped 26 goals so far, which is the most in Major League Soccer. And LAFC says, whoops, we're going to give up three to these guys, and we're only going to score one. It happened early, too. Fifth minute. Rodriguez giving San Jose the lead. They score again in the second half. 55th minute, and then also a Bowanga own goal. And then in the 69th minute, Christian Oliveira scores with an assist off Kai Kamara. And that's his first goal contribution since he's joined the club. So he got one. Messi got six this year. This week, we're all seeing how it's gone with the differences between LAFC and Miami right now. LAFC have only scored 19 goals. They've given up 19. They're at a zero goal differential right now. Not great. Thoughts on LAFC?
No, you made some really good points this week. You know, not like you don't make them other weeks, but you made a really good point in that one where you said, yeah, like, geez, man. I thought you made a really good point in saying that I think so many people are used to leagues that the big giants always win, especially in soccer, because it's so common in La Liga, it's so common in, oh, I won't say Bundesliga anymore, Premier League, it's so common in Mexican football. You know, the big giants, the historic clubs, the ones that are always at the top, always seem to surface at the top at some point. And that's not what this league is, man. It's parody. It's I would almost relate it to baseball. Like, I like when people will be like, and you know, I've got friends that are like, you know, what's the MLS bet? I'm like, don't. Like, I wouldn't. The only thing I'd ever bet on MLS is both teams to score. Seems to be a good one. But, yeah, no, there's so much parody here. And this is what happens. Like, San Jose goes to Levi Stadium, which I found that strange that they were playing at Levi Stadium.
Why?
I think it was just I think it was because they played. No, I think it's because they played each other. They were like, hey, this is a pretty cool venue. And
okay.
I think matching with like the old school vibes of San Jose, I think they thought, let's play in the Bay. So I don't know. I don't know if there was a specific reason. I doubt it was conflict because they don't share a stadium. San Jose, it was San Jose that was the home team. So they don't share PayPal, I don't believe. So, but yeah, like you said, Jordan, I think LAFC's, man, you're getting into some dangerous areas, because once summer comes, man, it's a grind because of Leagues Cup, because a lot of these guys will play for their national teams with Copa coming up, and people forget the Euros are coming up as well. There's going to be a lot of teams that are depleted because of these competitions. So this summer is going to be hard to judge.
Euros, Copa, Olympics.
Oh, that's true.
All three of them.
This league's going to be playing on exhaust.
The Union are going to lose Jack McGlynn to the Olympics, most likely.
I forgot about that. The Orlando City was like every single one of their players.
Yeah,
they're either young, they play for the South American teams that aren't very good.
The squads are not big enough. That's the main issue that they have to sort out.
Man, Jordan, this summer's going to get ugly then. You know, I was only ever thinking about Europe and Copa, Euros and Copa.
Yeah.
I forgot the Olympics too.
The Olympics will have at least a lot of the youth players that will be filling in for some of those other ones will have to be going overseas. Yeah, that's going to be.
Jordan, you're going to suit up? We can go play.
Yeah, I'll play.
Give us a call.
It can't go any worse than when I show up to watch at this
San Jose,
point,
so. New England, give us a call. We're ready.
Minnesota beat Atlanta on the road, 2-1 victory there. I don't really have too much to say about them. Atlanta's been very disappointing this year. 10th place in the East. They've been flirting with the top six for most of the season. They're now down to 10th, out of a playoff spot as it currently sits. Only a point above Nashville, who we were disappointed by earlier this season. Only 3 points better than Orlando. But they still have a positive goal differential. They've only given up 11. They've been very good on defense. It's only scoring 14 and, you know, just away from home, they're not very good. They got no wins away from home. And, I don't really know what to think of Atlanta so far in this season. I'm not really quite sure how good they're going to be. If they miss the playoffs, I'm sorry, Pineda's done. He's gone. You have to move on.
Yeah, and the impending doom of Thiago Almada being elsewhere. Although he hasn't been really good. And Giakoumakis has been hurt. So that's hurt him. Like you said, defensively, I thought they would take at least a step back. They lost Miles Robinson, and I know he'd been injured, but I thought for sure they'd regress defensively, but that's been the opposite. Like you said, they don't win on the road at all. They've actually struggled at home, Jordan. They've lost two. And to be a good team in the Eastern Conference, I mean, you're looking at teams that have only lost one. And I know there are people like, well, that's only one game. But, I mean, Mercedes is hard to play in. You got to take advantage of a very difficult place to play. They got one of the best fan bases as far as showing out. So it's not like this team's, you know, lacking support, lacking that energy. I think it is Gonzalo Pineda. Like, I think you look at that and say that's the X factor there. Like that, I think that's the reason we're not getting things done. I'm not sure that he's the coach, and we've talked about this. I don't think he's the coach that gets this done. I'd be very shocked that he lasts all season.
Yeah. If he lasts the whole season, I don't think he's coming back next season. If it stays this way. Let's get to the game that you went to. I'm really curious about this one. 1-0 victory for Cincy. 22nd. So you saw like the first, hopefully you were already seated before the game started around. So you may have missed this goal 20 seconds in here. And then that was it. And then you got to see two red cards, which is a rare thing to see, I would say. So maybe a little... What was your experience like on May the 4th, Star Wars night at Orlando City, when 20 seconds in, the Death Star blew up Alderaan?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Death Star's been blown up quite a few times this year. Jordan, this team's not a playoff team. This team is... this team is not competitive with the likes of DC United right now. Atlanta, I think Montreal are better than them. They look lost. They surrender early goals or late goals that just put them in really bad positions. Again, a team that's not good at home. They've lost three at home, Jordan. if you drop 9 points from the away position, and that's just including the losses, don't throw in the draws that they've drawn to. I mean, this team's in disarray. They've won one at home, they've won one on the road. There was a lot of talk on Twitter, obviously, about Oscar Pereja, and I was smacking the desk about getting him a contract, and it's really not gone in Orlando's favor or Oscar's favor. And this is basically the same team as last year. So it's not like they, you know, they regressed by losing some of their top talent. They actually got more talented, I believe. But this team just ships goals left and right. They don't seem to have any ways to stop you defensively. Pedro, I think, is on that same boat with Andre Blank, or Andre Blake, that's sinking. Right now, Jordan, if you had to tell me, if you had to ask me today if this team would make the playoffs this year, it's a no, a hard no. They can't do anything creatively. They don't score goals. Like, it's the same headache they had last year. And Facundo Torres, I don't know what team's looking at him in Europe, but I'd stop. I would just stop. They've just been awful. Just awful.
Well, I would say you're right in the sense of they're not a playoff team because right now they're outside of the playoff spot. They're 5 points out of a playoff spot. They really need to kick it in gear, but they have -7 goal differential. That's awful. That is tied for third worst in the East. Montreal has -7. Chicago has -8. New England has -11. They need to sort that out on around. I mean, because even the lowest in any of the playoff spots is -1, and that's DC, NYCFC, and Charlotte. So you have spots there if you needed to. There's actually only one team with a positive goal differential in the bottom six spots, and that's Atlanta with a 3. Everybody else is negative in those out of the playoff spots.
The Western Conference is stronger than the Eastern Conference now, Jordan.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? If we look at the Supporter Shield standing, so, you know, our friend Justin from Cincy Soccer Talk tagged us in something, a discussion point that I wanted to bring to you, because I think statistically he's correct. I thought that was a very interesting, it wasn't something I'd really thought of, but Justin from Cincy Soccer Talk said, might be wrong, but it feels like 7 to 8 of this season's clubs could be competing for the Supporter Shield in 2021. And then he asked us for our thoughts. I said, that's pretty close. 6 clubs have more points per game than second place in the 2021 table. That was the year that the Revs ran away with it with 73 points. Colorado finished second in those, by the way, with 61. The two teams at that point, this was like Saturday night, that had more than 2 points per game, or had more than 1.79. That was the second place runner-up in 2021. 1.79 points per game. So then I looked at, all right, let's just project this out. If all of these teams finish with more than 1.79 points per game, then they will finish with more points than Colorado had, and it would actually be a battle at the top of the Supporter Shield. Miami, RSL, Cincy, Minnesota, Toronto, Vancouver, LA Galaxy. All of those have more than 1 point. Oh, no, sorry. Minus out Toronto. Miami, RSL, Cincy, Minnesota, Vancouver, LA Galaxy all had more than 1.79 at that point. Right now, that may have changed because LA Galaxy dropped points. And you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's still a 5-way battle if you go points per game. Remove LA Galaxy from that now because they have fallen below the 1.79 because they drew with Seattle. But I thought that was a very interesting point because, 2021 was your first year covering the league. New England ran away with it. Then we're all kind of like, oh, okay, like, what are we doing here? Miami might still be able to do that and run away with it, but I was looking at, that was a big gap. It was a 12-point gap between top of the league and the second place in the Supporter Shield running. This year it might end up being a little closer. So I don't think Miami is going to match the point total, right? Because they're actually underneath points per game in that sense. New England had 2.14 or something. They were flying high in 2021. But I do think we're going to have a bigger chase for the supporter shield, or more teams finishing higher than 2021 teams did, at least.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, and one that I really hadn't considered. But that being said, Jordan, looking at teams right now, right? So if I'm looking at teams in the Eastern Conference, I mean, below, I'd say Montreal is starting to struggle quite a bit, but Nashville, Chicago, Orlando, New England, that's four. Seattle, Portland, Dallas, San Jose. Those are some awful teams, like really bad teams right now. And so I think that's where you're getting all those points per game, is that the conferences seem to be very top heavy this year, with the heavy hitters actually playing well against the teams below them. You know, they're not dropping as many points, I think, against some of these weaker teams. That's a lot of teams. I mean, Jordan, there's one, two, three, I think there's six teams, four, five, six, seven teams that are averaging under a point per game. That's insane. Like, that's how bad some of these teams have been towards the bottom. And, you know, and I think there are teams, Jordan, that I think we thought were actually going to be playoff teams. Like, you look at some of these top bar, these bottom teams, they're teams that you and I definitely had in the playoffs. And they've not played that way. So you're kind of letting those teams that probably are more of the seventh and eighth seeds floating up to the sixth and, you know, fifth seeds. So again, this league, it's not predictable by any stretch. And I think you're really seeing that. And I think that's why you're seeing as many points as you are, is because the top teams are very good. And then it gets pretty weak down below them.
Yeah. I'm looking back, just our talk about goal differential as well had me questions. Last year, not a lot of teams with negative goal differential in the playoffs. Like three. 2022, though, had one, two, three, four negative goal differential. One of those was Orlando, by the way, negative nine goal differential. So when I said you'd need to clean that up, maybe you don't. Maybe you'd be okay still getting in with the negative nine goal differential. But usually those are outliers. In 2021, there was only there were no teams that had negative. One team that had negative goal differential, and that was Minnesota United, who made the playoffs. Then this year we have a lot of zeros and low goal differential. We would probably have, if in the current standings, if we're looking at playoff teams, we would have one, two, three, four teams in the playoffs with negative goal differential. But they only have negative one goal differential. So it does seem like defense might actually be a little better this year, or at least maybe, I don't know. I don't know if you can equate that to defense being better or offense being better. But one of those things is certainly being better right now. That's keeping the some of these bad teams out of playoff spots. I mean, there was, like I said, Orlando had a negative nine goal differential when they finished in the playoffs 2 years ago. Negative nine goal differential would put them pretty much where they are now with Chicago and New England. They're not even sniffing the playoffs. San Jose, negative nine goal differential. Now, of course, the season is long. That may shake out differently, but I do think that's something we're seeing so far as we go through the season. So keep an eye on the goal differential there. Toronto won their third straight. They win at home against Dallas 3-1. As Toronto's kind of been in a strange situation. They're in third place now in the East. They only have one draw. They have four losses, though. But they have six wins and three of those in a row. And they've climbed up from, I mean, like 10 points to 9 points in the span of 3 weeks, which means they leapfrog a lot of teams. 3 weeks ago, I think we were saying that Toronto was out of a playoff spot, and now they've leapfrog everybody to third place.
starting to believe John Herdman might be one of the best coaches in this continent. Like the things he does with these teams, like Canada's good, right? Canada was like phenomenal during World Cup qualification.
Like that was mostly him. Yes, I think that. Yeah,
because like that team's good, but they are not like world beating good, and they played like world beaters. I mean, that team was ready to run up against some of the top. I think what caught them up is they got stuck in a horrible group in the World Cup. But I mean, he just seems like he's just figured it out. And Insigne has been hurt; he's coming back soon, so that's going to be massive. That'll be a huge boost for a team that's already sitting third. And I think Jordan, you know, looking at the way they're playing right now, they would stack up pretty well against Cincinnati. You know, I just watched Cincy play, and Cincy's not been overwhelming like they were last year. So I really do. I think Toronto, you know, they could be better defensively. That's something that they've been, you know, that's been constantly in the works. I mean, they were arguably one of the worst defensive teams last year, I think it was. So it's interesting. John Herdman has this team firing on all cylinders. He's got Bernardeschi and Insigne bought in, which I didn't think was going to be possible. I thought that maybe Bob Bradley was one of the only coaches that could get them in line if somebody was going to get them in line. But I think it was more to do with you just got to be more player friendly. And I think that's what Herdman ultimately is. But, man, he's starting to – he'd be rising up the ranks if I'm other, you know, countries and clubs looking at who's really a good coach in MLS. And John Herdman, Wilfred Nancy, you know, those are guys that I'm looking at going, Vanni Sartini. Like, there's a lot of good coaches, I think, up and coming. They've got these teams riding high.
Yeah, just crazy. I knew Toronto was going to be better, but and they kind of had to stall a little bit, right? They came out kind of hot, and then they kind of cooled off a bit, and now they're hot again. And it's just sometimes how MLS is. But yeah, I mean, if they finish in like the top four, wow, what a turnaround! Even if they make the playoffs, it's like what a turnaround. But you okay there? You spill here?
I spilled Rivier all over myself. So if anybody was watching the video, they probably saw it. It was so
I didn't bad. See it because I'm like looking it's at my notes, my and then I looked yeah. over and see it all over your shirt. Okay, yeah.
I'm really mad at that.
Charlotte beat Timbers 2-0 at home. They were shouting Timber, I guess. I don't know. 2-0 at home, Charlotte. Charlotte's been a surprise, I would say, for me anyway. Sixth place. 14 points. They've been pretty good. -1 goal differential. They got to sort out the goals still, but defense, they've only given up 13. It's not terrible. So yeah, doing pretty good job, Charlotte. What in the hell is going on with Portland? That's a question. They're below Seattle now, by the way, because of goal differential. They started out like, what, first place Seattle was like last, and then now they're below Seattle. So that's not great for them at all. Seattle's picked up 4 points in the last week. So they jumped from 6 points to 10. They're now only 3 points out of a playoff spot. I'm probably going to eat my words already from my prediction on 4/22 when I said Seattle, San Jose, and Dallas won't factor into the playoff chase. Well, Seattle's kind of factor. It depends on what you consider factoring into the playoff race. They're 3 points out of it. I would assume that's factoring in. So I might already be eating some crow there. At least I didn't spill root beer all over myself, but
tastes better on your shirt.
And New England grabbed a 1-0 victory over the Fire. Fire extinguished there. That's a shock. Not really. sorry, Andrew. Now New England has 7 points. So yeah, mathematically, not a lot of these teams are going to be eliminated till like the last month of the season.
That's because, how MLS works when you got nine spots.
New England's only 7 points out of a playoff spot, you know?
Right. Time to get rid of those two spots at the end, man. Stop making teams look better than they are. or at least right. add 4 or 5 more teams. Come on.
Would that change much, though, if we look at it? I mean, no, 7 points is still the difference between them and NYCFC.
That's how bad they are, man.
There's only a 2-point difference between 9th and 7th in the West. There's a 0-point difference from 9th all the way up to 6th in the East. We'll see how that goes. But look, you're always in it. You're always in it. Colorado beat NYCFC 2-0 as they're still flying high. Austin and Vancouver drew 0-0. And Seattle LA Galaxy drew 0-0. So this is where we currently sit. Top of the West is RSLs. They've won 3 in a row. They have 21 points. They've played more games than Minnesota. So Minnesota actually has a 2 points per game while RSL doesn't. So Minnesota has that game in hand where Minnesota could possibly take control of the West. The West has been a little bit wild. Miami's been leading the East this whole time. The West has been like Vancouver, LA, Minnesota, RSL, Colorado, just like flip-flopping those top 5 spots throughout the beginning of the season. So you have RSL, Minnesota, LA, Galaxy, Vancouver as your top 4, Colorado, Austin, LAFC, your top 7, and then your wild cards, Houston and St. Louis. Then out of a playoff spot, you have SKC, Seattle, Portland, Dallas, San Jose. Over in the East, Miami leads by 3 points. They actually lead the Supporters Shield by 3 points as well. They have 24. Cincinnati in second, Toronto in third, New York Red Bull in fourth. They have a 0-goal differential due to that loss. Logan, they'd only given up 10 goals in the league before they faced Miami, and now have given up 16. They had a 14-10 goals for to goals against. And they now have 16-16 there. Columbus in fifth, Charlotte in sixth, NYCFC in seventh, Philly in eighth, DC in ninth, Atlanta in 10th, Montreal in 11th, Nashville, Chicago, Orlando, New England. That's your things there. The best goal differential in the league, by the way, 14. That's Miami. They've scored 32. They've given up 18. And that is the most goals scored by a large margin. The next best is 21. So 11 goals between the best to second best in the goals for column. But incredibly, Miami, 24 points. They've played more games than anybody. Cincy can actually equal that with their game in hand. And RSL can equal that with their game in hand. And Minnesota can surpass that with their 2 games in hand. Right? Yeah, because Minnesota needs 2 more. They could get 6 points. Yeah, that'd be at 26. Yeah, so they can surpass that if possible. But we'll see. I don't expect Minnesota to surpass that currently, but they can. So for as many goals as Miami's putting away, they're still kind of even with teams like RSL and Minnesota and Cincy. So there you go. Anything else about these games before we preview?
No.
Columbus did have a great game. They beat Monterrey. They're on to the final for CONCACAF Champions Cup. So eagerly awaiting that. I think that's in June that they do that now. So we'll see how that goes. Open Cup. Pittsburgh Riverhounds versus Tulsa at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Atlanta versus Charlotte Independence at 7:30. Houston versus Detroit City at 8. Dallas and Memphis at 8:30. Calvary and Vancouver in the Canadian Championship at 9 o'clock. Orange County versus Loudoun at 10. San Jose, Oakland against at 10 o'clock. And then Sac Republic versus Monterey Bay at 10:30. Wednesday, May 8th, we have Charleston Battery versus South Georgia. We have Indy 11 and San Antonio. North Carolina versus Phoenix. NYCFC 2 versus Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Tampa Bay Rowdies versus Birmingham. Omaha and SKC, New Mexico versus RSL, Las Vegas versus LAFC, and Seattle versus Louisville. Saturday, we have Atlanta versus DC United. That should be a fun matchup. Charlotte, Nashville, Montreal, Miami, New York Red Bull, and New England. Philadelphia, Orlando, stateside soccer show derby coming up this Saturday. Toronto, NYCFC. Those are all 7:30. Then we have Columbus versus Cincinnati for the Hell is Real derby at 7:45. That's free on Apple TV. It's also on FS1. Then at 8:30, we have Dallas and Austin, SKC Houston, St. Louis, Chicago. Then at 9:30, Colorado and San Jose. 10:30 is LA and RSL, LAFC and Vancouver. Portland and Seattle face off at 4:45 on Apple TV and Fox on Sunday, May 12th. That's free on Apple TV. Logan, your match of the week is?
Orlando and Philadelphia. What, top caliber team? No, I'm kidding. God, that's going to be awful. dang, there's three really good matchups, but I'm going to stick with the LA Galaxy and RSL, two of the top teams in the Western Conference facing each other, 1-3. RSL, Jordan, we got to see in person. They just seem to win games, man. They're point merchants. I don't know what it is about that team, but I really like what they offer. They don't allow goals. I think that's the biggest thing. And the LA Galaxy do. But LA Galaxy also score a bunch of goals. So I'm going to see what kind of shakes out here with RSL and LA Galaxy. But I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards RSL. I've got a good feeling about RSL on the road.
If Philly starts out giving up two goals to Orlando, then we know something's really wrong. Yeah. The way Orlando can't even like buy a goal, so right, it'd be a little worrying if they still somehow find a way to give up a goal to Orlando to find themselves down. That one is at Subaru Park. They've lost two in a row, which is like the first time in a long time. They got to figure that out. But not where I'm going for that as well. We're just doing our little tease there. How can it not be Columbus, Cincinnati? Hell is real. Columbus flying high. They won MLS Cup last year. Did you see the fun video of the news broadcast showing Anthony Precourt's trophy case?
No.
You didn't see that? Oh my! I'll have to send it to you. But it was this local Columbus news after they knocked out Monterrey. On their morning show the next day, they said, "Like, oh, we're going to show you Anthony Precourt's trophy cabinet." It was empty, you know, because he never won anything.
Yeah,
especially at Austin, hasn't won anything. And you know how they've kept the team there. Such a great story. That they've kept their team. They've won two MLS Cups since then. Austin has done nothing, right? Like, this was, and they're going to be in a CONCACAF Champions Cup. So really cool for Columbus. Wilfer Nancy is like the best coach in MLS, I would say. And going up against Cincy, who won the Supporter Shield last year, maybe disappointed in the playoffs a bit, and got, you know, bounced out by Columbus, right? Here it is. Can you take the reins and show Columbus, no, we're not going to fall backwards in the table. We're not going to let you climb over us. They wouldn't really technically climb over it, but they'd be getting close. They'd be getting a lot closer than they are. That is something that is very interesting to me, as this rivalry is now two teams that are always near the top of the East right now. So much more fun when both of these teams are good. Can't wait to see how that's going to shake out this weekend. Interesting at 7:45. I don't know if that's because it's on FS1 or what, but if so, I'm very glad that they're showing us the real kickoff time, if that's when it is, instead of 7:30 and then kicks off at 8. I'd rather them tell me 7:45 and then kick off at 8. You know, when it's on Fox, they're like always the half hour difference. But I think I'd have to go there. Runner up is Atlanta DC, more at the bottom of the East matchup, 2 points between them. Atlanta really got to kind of wake up and get going. DC's been a pleasant surprise. So that's another one that I'm kind of looking at, but I kind of have that East Coast bias, I guess. All right. Well, I guess that wraps us up. You can reach us at Stateside Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. Email stateside show@gmail.com. You can like and subscribe to us here on the YouTube channel or rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hope you all have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you next time. We talk match day 13.